This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're being flooded with ticket texts on this frigid Tuesday morning. Sun is out. It's supposed to warm up a little bit.
Hey, as long as the sun's out, I can handle the colder weather as long as we're seeing the sun. I would like it to be warmer like it was.
Ticket texts are flooding in about the song for the Red Wings.
Okay.
If they lose tonight. We know if they win, it's alive, right? They're alive. Yeah. They're in the thick of this. If they win tonight, they draw within four for the final five games. They lose tonight, be 8 points out.
Yeah, I mean, you're not mathematically out, but you're realistically out.
Win every game and have Montreal lose all the games and only pick up a point. Yeah, exactly. So you guys have sent in some stuff. We'll read those. You can call in 248-539-9797. The question for the Red Wings is simple. Are you checked out or are you holding out hope? 248-539-9797. We also have a Tigers conversation going and ticket texts are coming in on that. This idea of beating the Yankees, does that legitimize this start to you? Because I know the White Sox didn't do it for many people. What's it going to take if it's not? If the Yankee series isn't enough, is it the month of April? Is it the 40-game mark, the All-Star break? Is it a thing? Is it like seeing this approach at the plate repeated over and over again where they're clogging the bases, knowing, hey, they're not murderer's row. They're going to leave some guys on base. But if they're in all these games, applying pressure to the other team, pitching well, they're going to win more than they lose. They're going to stay afloat. They're going to get healthy. And they're going to be in the thick of this race. You guys let us know.
For me, it's consistency. If they just can be consistent, be in games, give themselves a chance. They have not been shut out yet this year. And that was a conversation over the past couple. It will happen. They're going to get shut out at some point. But it doesn't feel like that is a part of the conversation right now because they've been able to flood the base paths. And when you're playing better teams, you're not going to be on base quite as much, especially when you're facing a pitcher like Rodon. Now, they took advantage of him yesterday.
Sure.
But part of that was, and I don't know, Jim, were you watching the game on TV?
Mm-hmm.
The strike zone was all over the place.
For both guys.
Goodness. Yeah, I mean, it was bad for both. I could not believe the inconsistencies from behind home plate yesterday. It was just awful.
It was terrible.
It tough to pitch in that situation. Tough to hit in that situation because I think it was Cole Keith took a pitch where I thought, okay, he's. Oh wait, no, they called third strike. Wait, one second. And then I can't remember who else it was. All of a sudden, they take a pitch, clearly a strike, and they're off to first. But I think it might have been Vierling. No, it wasn't Vierling. It would have been. I forget who it was.
That Tiger.
Yeah, but to my point was, it was bizarre.
The strike zone was bizarre. Then you throw in the sideways snow for periods of that game yesterday. Yeah. It was an adventure, but the Tigers win. That's four in a row. John, your answer for the game tonight. Checked out, holding out hope.
Oh, I'm holding out hope. I'm full of hope, but I'm going to be watching this game with only one eye open. And not because I'll be tired, but just because it's cringeworthy at times to watch And yes, I want there to be hope, but reality says it's just not who the Wings are this year. Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. A little twist here. If the Wings are to win tonight, who has to be the man? Who's got to be the guy that steps up and just says, we refuse to lose. We refuse to let this season go quietly into the night.
The guy who's played well lately is Cam Talbot. Your goalie has to be your best penalty killer. He's been standing on his head. He's made late game saves. I think he's played well like 4 straight games now. Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be your goal scorer?
But you got to put the puck in the net too. Yeah. You know who I want it to be? Dylan Larkin. He's in a drought right now. Got to get him going. Would love to see it start with the captain tonight in Montreal. He's got to go toe-to-toe. They got Nick Suzuki on the other side centering their top line. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to outplay Suzuki. You're going to have to go into their house, and you're going to have to start with your top line, your center, your leader. I am still holding out a sliver of hope. When they didn't do anything at the deadline, I officially gave up on them making the playoffs. I want it, but I don't believe it. I hold out hope because the alternative is I'm worrying about the draft lottery and I don't need to. What's it going to do for me to see an 18-year-old that's 3 or 4 years away from helping this hockey team? I don't need a couple extra slots in the lottery. I don't need some finality to the season. Like, I know
you don't believe the war chest of picks will turn into a productive player next year.
I think they've got a bunch of good young players already. They need to take the next step on the ice. Like, I've heard Kenny Cott a little in the afternoon and he's like, just die already. Let the season end. Give us the sweet relief of just being done with this agonizing march to the finish, a death march of sorts.
Get in or get out.
Get in is the answer. The answer is always get in until you can't get in. So yeah, I'll go into tonight with both eyes open, watching this hockey team, hoping for something I don't think is going to happen, which is a late season push to the playoffs.
Okay, I'm not hopeful by any means, but I do think there's at least somewhat mathematical sense of them pulling this off. What would it take to get to 89 points, a seven game win streak,
which they've done twice.
So they've shown they can do it. If they beat Montreal tonight, Montreal has 4 games left. They get a point per game. Again, a reasonable barometer thing, a thing to pull off for the Canadiens, right? 4 points in 4 games.
Sure, split.
They would get to 89 points, and the Red Wings would have the tiebreaker. Now, you can sit there and laugh at that. I'm having a hard time keeping a straight face coming up with that. I don't think that's impossible.
No, it's not impossible. The Wings would have to win, you said, 7 of the final 8 games of the regular season. They have won back-to-back games for the first time since February 25th. You know what I mean? Like the Tigers have won as many games since February 25th as the Detroit Red Wings. So we have to understand the undertaking that we're proposing here.
When they had 30 points on December 26th. Who would have thought they'd get 2 7-game win streaks? That's my point.
Yeah.
John is laughing at me. I can say, just do it. Let it go. Don't have to hold back. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. I am sunshine and rainbows. I am Mr. Optimism on this from 6 to 10. I have a hard time believing that can be reality. I'm holding out hope that it will be. I'm not going to sit there and make any postseason plans.
And we're out of March. I mean, that was the big bugaboo with this team the last 3 years, right? April and the D. Yeah.
Well, here it is. You want some ticket text on what people want the song to be?
Yeah.
Heartbreaker, Pat Benatar. School's out when they lose tonight. If the Wings lose, Closing Time should be the song. Trevor in Rochester. Sound of Silence, when all the Fairweather fans go quiet, Joe in a car. Fade to Black from Metallica. You guys are good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This says, how about Beat It by Michael Jackson, referring to Steve Yzerman. Dave Matthews, Gravedigger. Rob, it's from Madison. Dead and Bloated should be the song if the Red Wings lose tonight. Beck, Loser from Chris and Howell. A lot of good stuff coming in on the ticket text. 248-539-9797.
Whole new set of rejoiners next tomorrow.
How about someone optimistic? Mike in Clarkston says, All I Need is a Miracle by Mike and the Mechanics.
There you go. Could be. What could be?
Someone says, keep it in the Pearl Jam family. Brendan in a truck. The Red Wing song should be Last Kiss. Let's get to Sean. You're next up. You're on 97.1.
Oh, you guys, I'm so mad about this team. I can't stand it. I am such a big hockey fan. I'm a bigger hockey fan than a Red Wing fan, but I'm still a big Red Wing fan. I hate this team. I can't stand them. I don't want them to make the playoffs. I can't believe a 6'8" man who plays finesse hockey. It bugs me. They don't go in corners and hit people. They do not play the sport right. I don't want them to make the playoffs. And I'm starting to lean towards fire Steve Yzerman. Honestly, I'm done. I'm so pissed at this team. How we don't play physical? How do you play hockey and not play physical? Do you want to get if you want to go into the playoffs against Florida and get your teeth bashed in? I mean, what are we doing here?
I think you want to see this team play in the playoffs so that they get that reality check. Do you think they get that by missing the playoffs?
No. I don't even have the answers anymore. I'm so frustrated.
I know.
I don't know. I don't even know. I mean, we have Rasmussen, Solderblom, Edvinson, these guys, and they don't hit any. So the last game they played was a must-win game. And look, they won the game. But that was their effort? I mean, Florida was missing like 10 people.
And oh, yeah. It was a minor league team, borderline minor league hockey
team. That was our playoff push? I mean, what do you expect out of this team in a playoff push? I don't know. They don't know how to play hockey. I don't get it, man. I'm frustrated. Sorry, guys.
No, you don't have to apologize. Sean, appreciate you calling. It's okay to be frustrated. I don't know that missing the playoffs achieves really anything, though. You go, okay, now they know. They know what? They missed it last year, too. Now they know they got to play tougher. I think it's a fair criticism of Yzerman that this is the culture of hockey here.
It is, and it's just not the way. First of all, it's not winning hockey, and it's not the way that the fans have, those that grew up watching the Wings have come accustomed to watching winning hockey. It does need to be physical. There has to be that element to it, and it's just not that right now.
Wings, probably not going to be in the playoffs. Pistons, definitely in the playoffs. We'll talk about what's going on with them right now. We'll do that coming up next. It's 97.1.
A personal injury of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Feminino has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Feminino. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Feminino at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Another win for the Tigers. They'll play today 1-10. Tarik Skubal on the mound against the New York Yankees. Later tonight, you've got the Red Wings playing. Season on the brink. Stop me if you've heard that before. Must-win hockey game. They're going to be in Montreal against the Canadiens. Alive has been the kind of the song of late. They're keeping their season alive. If they lose tonight, it's over. So what song should they replace it with? Clown music, according to one ticket texter, says that's fitting. Don't Do Me Like That, Tom Petty. Scars by Papa Roach, that's Jake and Howell. The Red Wings are either living on a prayer or they're on the highway to hell, Paul and Oxford. NSYNC's Bye 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 or Queen, another one bites the dust, Zach in Ann Arbor. Texter says, why do you want this team to make the playoffs? Honestly, what part of the roster is built for a seven-game series? Make it just to be swept by a team that plays defense with good goaltending? This is the 2019 Pistons playoff run. Disagree. 2019 Pistons were led by Blake Griffin, right? Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson. Those weren't guys that were going to be part of anything.
No.
If the Red Wings make the playoffs, they will lose in the first round, in all likelihood. But it would be playoff experience for Sider and Raymond and Casper and a lot of these younger hockey players.
And knowing that you, just get there. But it's the experience of finding a way to get there.
Finally breaking through and not just collecting a bunch of young hockey players with promise, but actually paying off some of the promise by taking the next step as an organization to get into the postseason. And then you don't know. I'm not predicting anything, but hockey more than any other sport, you can get hot and steal a game or steal a series. So, yeah, do I want Little Caesars Arena to host playoff hockey for the first time in its existence? Yes. Am I holding out hope? Not much. Not much, but I am going to watch tonight, and I get it if you've checked out. I understand. This team doesn't deserve a lot of your time. Texter says they're soft. They look like a bunch of figure skaters, Paul in New Haven. And Joe and Howell, you can wrap up the Red Wing talk. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I'm pretty disappointed overall. I really thought they were on the cusp last year. But they had the tough and gritness like the other caller was talking about. You don't lose David Perron, Jake Walman, who you gave away for a bag of chips, and Shane Gostisbehere, and replace them with what and who. My question is this. Are Steve Yzerman's hands tied with the money aspect of this? Because I don't understand what they were trying to do by letting those three go and really not spend any money except on Tarasenko. But that's my confusion and frustration. And I'd love to see him play playoffs, but they're not going to make it.
Yeah. Joe, I don't believe, I mean, it's a salary cap sport. They've spent more. I mean, they were up against the cap this season. It's not a lack of spending. It's poor spending. It's the redundancy of Kopp and Compher. It's having Tarasenko on a multi-year deal. By the way, we're going to deal with it this summer. Peter Mrazek is on the team next season at north of $4 million, twice of what Cam Talbot makes, and that's a deal Yzerman did make at the deadline. I don't think we do the cheap routine with the Tigers.
No.
But I don't think that at all applies here. I think it's poor general manager decisions more than it is not having the money available to spend on the hockey team.
Well, it's similar to different sport, different time frames, but you build the team in basketball, and Troy Weaver drafted fairly well, right? There were some misses, clearly. But he couldn't build the team. Steve Yzerman has been able to draft well, but he has struggled to build a team, a winning product.
So we got a text right before that caller. It said they're soft. And you hear that a lot. You see a lot on text. I call it maybe a narrative out there to a degree. So you said build a team. Is Yzerman building a soft team? I'd like to know, Jim, do you buy in that? You're the most invested in hockey on the show. Yeah. You're actually a ticket holder. Do you think the Red Wings are soft?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I'm not going to pretend to be hockey X's and O's guy. You know, the whole puck routine. I go to the games. I care about the team. I do want them to be harder to play against. I think that's a fair criticism of the team, that they're not hard enough to play against.
I actually think it's the biggest criticism for Yzerman, is that's the thing long term, that even if these guys get better and better and better.
Right, what is your identity?
Too many of the same types of players, slash a word that gets overused, but finesse.
Sure.
Is that's the bigger problem here.
And John invoked the Pistons. I did want to bring them in here for a couple minutes anyway. That's the opposite. We talk about creating an identity, and J.B. Bickerstaff immediately shifting the focus of this basketball team. Trajan Langdon outfitting them with pieces so that it does look like a team and not a collection of players. The Pistons are in the playoffs. Their turnaround is remarkable. John, they've lost four of the last five right now, but they're locked in. They're locked into the sixth seed. They still got a shot at the five seed right now.
Yes. And so it's a matter of just being able to finish things out for them and getting to, there's a delicate balance of Cade Cunningham, getting back into the swing of things with this team and everybody being comfortable with him, but not overworking him. So, because it does it really matter if you're in the five or the six as you go into the postseason?
It decides who you play.
Well, it does decide who you play, but when we talked to JB yesterday, I don't think he really gave, you know, didn't care.
Well, you can't give an answer. You can't go out and say we want this team because then you put the target on your back.
Right, but then you could talk about the matchups. And I don't want to get into that, but they're in the playoffs, right? But it's what happens in the next four games that gives them the best chance to be the most ready when the postseason arrives? And it's health, it's rest, it's performance, it's rhythm, all of those different things. And that's where JB's got to do that juggling act.
Because if they're 100% firing on all cylinders, Cade Cunningham will be the best player in their opening round matchup. He's better than anybody that plays for the Knicks. He's better than anybody that plays for the Pacers. They will have the best player in the series. And when the Pistons lock in on defense, they're dangerous. It leads to transition buckets. It leads to alley-oops. It leads to kick-out threes, and they've got a little bit of three-point shooting on this team. The issue is, on a night like last night, you don't have Tobias Harris in the lineup. That's one front-court shooter out. You play small. You get beat on the glass. Tobias Harris, I don't want to overdo it here, but he's super important for allowing everybody else to play their role on this team. They're 39-31 when he plays. They're 4-5 when Tobias Harris doesn't play. Mm-hmm. He's out with an Achilles issue right now. It's a day-to-day situation. Tell me he's playing in the playoffs. Tell me we get a couple inspired defensive performances and Cade's minutes go up, and I'll pick him to win the first round. But if they're still sputtering with this occasional defense and Tobias is hurt, they're ripe for a first-round exit. Yeah. In fact, today I think I'd say they would lose in the first round.
I think a lot of people would say that they just lose in the first round, even if they went in humming on all cylinders.
Right.
So I don't think it's taken. It's not a stretch, but
I'm not taking a shot either. The season's a success.
Yeah, the season is a gigantic success. That's not at all what this is.
Yeah,
and we'll get a chance to analyze it more as we get closer through these
to
four
it.
Games.
Yeah, the last week of the regular season. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, early this morning, a large fire ripped through Southfield's Plum Hollow Market, destroying the longtime community staple. So crews were battling this fully engulfed building right around 1 a.m., and it was only then by 6 a.m. that they were able to fully extinguish the flames. Plum Hollow Market is a family-owned store, been in business for more than 5 decades. So sad to see it completely destroyed. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. The good news, I guess, is that nobody was injured.
There's like a lot of fires lately.
I know. There has been in the news. Local, very close fires or explosions of homes. Detroit Assistant General Manager Sam Menzin quit his job last Thursday just as the Tigers were about to fire him for sending lewd photos to several female staffers. So 3 women, 2 who worked for the Tigers and 1 who worked for another MLB team, say they received unsolicited photos of Menzin's genitals on Snapchat.
Mm.
Yes. Disgusting. Like I said, they were sent on Snapchat. The Tigers have released a statement. I don't have it in front of me, but basically saying this doesn't jive with our environment, right?
Yes.
And they work hard to make sure that women feel safe in the workspace there. So
Great
they were
use
going-
of the word jive as well.
Well, thanks.
Just always kind of fun word to hear.
It's just this guy had been with the team and was on the upward trajectory for his career. What a stupid thing to do.
What makes you think that this is going to be okay?
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's never okay.
I'm sure they want to see this. Like, is that what you're telling yourself?
Oh, yeah.
As you look at the picture that you just took and you think, okay, that looks good. I'll send that.
Yes. That's what he thought. I'm guessing. And that these women would love to see that. And that was going to like seal the deal. I don't know what was going on in his mind, but it's messed up. He started as an intern, as a baseball operations intern in 2012. Worked his way up all the way to assistant general manager. Had a great career. 35 years old, young man. Yep. I knew him not well, right? Like I didn't work in the same, I guess you could say, department as me, but I'd been with the Tigers for over 10 years. So yes, I knew of him. I've met him before. But that's about all I can say about him, right? Like I don't know anything about him, but it's not something I guess I would have expected to hear about him.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know that there's anybody you'd look at and be like, yep, they're going to send that.
No, but it's always the person you least expect.
Least expect
it seems to be when these stories break. So disgusting. He going back home to New York to deal with some family issues and other issues, I'm sure, now.
I'm sure. And again, the timing. He was with the team for their first game of the season.
Oh, yeah. He did the whole road, the whole road opener. And then he was there Thursday working his regular shift like everything's okay. Thursday before the Tigers' home opener.
Guys, let it be a lesson. Don't throw it away. Don't do something stupid.
Just don't ever do this. Even if you have nothing to throw away. If you live in your mom's basement with no job, don't do this.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose at that point.
Don't do it, John. Women don't want these photos, and it's gross. All right, other news. Gas prices set a new high for 2025 last week and then dipped slightly this week. So according to AAA, gas prices reached $3.28 last week. And this week, the average price for regular unleaded gas is $3.23. So,
everybody's trying to find a good gas deal right now.
And unfortunately, AAA, a spokesperson says that pump prices will likely face upward pressure if gasoline stocks continue to decrease as oil prices increase. So we may not see them dip much lower. Oh, this is, it's a great story that this guy is sharing. A sad story, but maybe could inspire other people. Boston Red Sox outfielder Jaron Duran opening up about his mental health struggles. He did this interview for a new docuseries on Netflix, and he said that his on-field troubles during the 2021-2022 season fueled his struggles mentally to the point that he attempted suicide. And he goes into detail about what happened, but he said not meeting his own expectations as well as disappointing others really pushed him into this very dark place. And he says he doesn't know why he survived the suicide attempt, but that really made him look in the mirror and take charge of his life. And the president of the Red Sox is saying that his decision to share the story is an act of courage that reaches beyond baseball, and opening up is showing that there's other people obviously who are struggling and they're not alone, and that asking for help isn't just okay. It's essential. So,
and it's a good reminder. You don't know what someone's going through on the outside. You'd think this guy is,
has it all together.
Yeah, he's professional going athlete.
Money, fame, success. He's got to be one of the happiest guys around. And it was eating him up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing that he's speaking out and sharing that story, because it will help somebody else. It's Heather with the news. Got a mock draft from Mel Kiper and a Lions question for the upcoming season. Would not make Heather very happy. It's 97.1.
Hey, baseball fans. We all love the home run, the long ball. And FanDuel is giving you even more reasons to love home runs every Tuesday during the Major League Baseball season, because with Dinger Tuesdays, all FanDuel customers get a home run profit boost. That means you can bet on every single moonshot, and you could take your swings and your winnings to new heights. So whether it's a big blast or somebody's going opposite field, FanDuel is your home for betting home runs. Just visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit and gear up to go yard all season long. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to claim your Dinger Tuesday profit boost. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mark Champion on the call. Pistons lost last night. Zach LaVine, a 40-point outburst. I think he's done it four different times against Detroit. Part of it was him going off, Cade on a minutes restriction, and they just didn't rebound. Missed Tobias Harris. Pistons have lost four of their last five, but are in the sixth seed right now. Playoffs will start right around the corner. This is the final week of the regular season this week. John, I got a mock draft from Mel Kiper.
Oh, I've not looked.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to be surprised.
Well, I'll surprise you, and then we'll get into this conversation about the Lions potentially playing on Christmas Day, because I know it infuriates Heather, and she can't be the only one. We'll start with the mock from Mel. This is 4.0. How many does he do, by the way? Does he do like six or seven of these things?
I don't know. I mean, there's 2 weeks Thursday.
Yeah, so.
So maybe one next week, and then one final one, so six.
Okay, so we'll see how much it changes. But right now he is the number one pick, Cam Ward, Tennessee Titans. Everybody's kind of circling on that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Travis Hunter to the Cleveland Browns. Number three, Abdul Carter, pass rusher, Penn State, plays for the New York Giants. Will Campbell at 4 to the Patriots, and Mason Graham to the Jags rounds out the top 5.
Okay.
Some other notables, Ashton Jeanty, the top running back, goes 6 to the Raiders. Shedeur Sanders, 9 to the Saints. Will Johnson, 11th to the San Francisco 49ers. Colston Loveland, Michigan Wolverine, 14th to the Colts.
Okay.
Jihad Campbell's a player that Lions fans like. He goes 17th to the Cincinnati Bengals. You get into the 20s, and you're looking at a couple teams in our division. The Packers at 23 take Mykel Williams, Georgia, edge. The Minnesota Vikings take Donovan Jackson, guard, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Dart goes 26th to the Rams. The Lions at 28 select pass rusher, Boston College, Donovan Isiraku.
Yeah, it's close enough.
All right. 16.5 sacks a year ago, I believe, multi-time All-ACC team captain, pass rusher. I like that.
Yeah, dominant off the edge. And, I mean, he's an individual. I mean, they obviously are very familiar with BC. Here's where he's a little bit shorter, 6'2". I believe he's right around 250, so he's well-labeled as outside linebacker and not edge defender, so they can use him in a lot of different ways in regards to, yeah, they can rush him, and he's got a knack for getting after the quarterback. I'm concerned about his size.
Can he be an every down true edge guy?
He's not going to be a run stopper, no.
Right.
So he's a third down specialist.
The pick one pick later is more of a run setting edge with some upside. Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He's kind of that bigger, complementary, run stopping with some pass rush upside. He goes 29 to the Commanders.
So,
the Eagles take James Pierce, 32. So he falls.
He falls.
And the Lions pass him.
This would be very interesting. And obviously, Gray Zabel, the guy I want, is already off the board. I think he goes to the Chargers at 22.
Yes, he does.
And so this is, I wouldn't hate it, but this would leave you with Josh Pascal is still your first and second down defensive end. He comes in as third down. Or in, you know, second long situation, he's a pass rush guy that you can also use to drop into the flats. You can use him in coverage, you know, judiciously, pick and choose your times.
This is a 2-round mock, so they also have the Lions second round pick, John.
Oh.
Anthony Belton, tackle guard, NC State. The write-up says the Lions lost Zeitler in free agency, and some combination of Kyota Iwasika and Christian Mahogany is currently in line to take over at right guard. Belton, 6'6", 336 pounds, has played all but 11 of his more than 2,000 career snaps at left tackle. However, could slide inside in the pros, and the Lions might opt for that in his first season.
Certainly would opt for that in his first season. He's not going to overtake Decker and certainly not Sewell. So,
if you want him on the field. Yeah.
They're doing, these mocks are following in large part what is need for the team, and that's edge and offensive line in the first two rounds, which I think, you know, whether it's edge in the first round or second round and vice versa for interior offensive linemen, that's probably where we all think they should go. Issue's going to be, is Brad Holmes going to take best available at 28 versus best available that we need?
O-line, D-line, first and second round.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
It needs to happen. It really does. But he can also manufacture that.
Yes, because you trade up or trade down and you make it so the best player happens to be the player you need him to be as well. We've seen them do that in the past couple seasons here. Lions, we don't know the schedule. We typically find that out after the draft. We know Thanksgiving Day, but what about Christmas Day? The NFL has made that a priority to play football games on Christmas Day. Rod Wood saying that the Lions are not exempt from playing on Christmas Day despite their annual Thanksgiving commitment. Says, I know we're a big TV draw, so I wouldn't rule that out. They may ask us to do it. I do think for our fans, asking them to give up Thanksgiving and Christmas to come to a game is a big ask. So I've tried to avoid it, but we'll see when the schedule comes out. John, what would you think about the Lions playing on Christmas Day?
Well, the NFL wants to be respectful of fan bases as well. As much as we think it's all about making money, and it is, I do think if they play on Christmas Day, it's going to be an away game. I am all for it. I think it would be awesome. I would love to see the Lions on Christmas Day, just like we get a chance to see them on Thanksgiving Day. I'm just excited. I don't really care who it is, that there's three games. They are fully embracing the NFL on Christmas Day. It makes it easier this year because it's not a Wednesday, it's a Thursday. And they can have a 1 o'clock or 12:30, however they're going to do it, 12:30, a 4 o'clock, and an 8 o'clock kick.
It's not going to
fills the day.
It's not going to take away from
because you have nothing else going on that day, right?
The day with joy. Uh-huh, all sure. The things that the
there's
Christmas
nothing joyful
season.
About Christmas.
Hey, my family loves football, and they're going to be all in on watching football. They're going to be sitting around the house because the tradition that we have is we go nowhere on Christmas Day. We open our presents, we have a special breakfast, and then everyone is somewhat left to their own means in regards to how they entertain themselves the rest of the day. We all want to be together. There is no better way to enjoy a Christmas holiday than watching our very own Detroit Lions.
Yeah, to me, it enhances Christmas Day. It makes Christmas Day even better. We
it's
have a
Christmas
makes you disconnected
present.
From everybody you're with because you're so focused on the game, you can't even engage with your
no,
family.
No, ma'am. It is absolutely perfect because I married a football fan. I've produced football fans, and we're all going to watch football on Christmas.
Good for you.
You would not like this.
No, I don't like it
at
all.
Is this a hard no for Colin? If, let's just say, whether it's this year or in the coming years, that the Detroit Lions are on 4 o'clock on Christmas Day.
He wouldn't like it either because he would be distressed.
He wouldn't like it because you don't like it?
No, because he loves Christmas just as much as I do. And we love being with our family. We love our traditions we have. And if the game is on, he's going to want to be totally in on this game, right? Like, he loves the Lions. And then he's not going to be connected with his family. And then, or vice versa. Or he's going to try to be with the family and can't really watch the game, which he doesn't like either.
There's other days of holiday break.
Then play the game on another day.
3 hours. Mm-mm. 3.5 hours. They got a tight window. 3.5 hours.
I believe the quote from Heather was, I would lose him if they were playing the game on Christmas Day.
Uh-huh. I would lose him to the TV. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I do feel for Colin because I understand the internal fight that he will be going through of, I want to be with my family. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. My wife has told me this is what I need to do to be a good husband. And yet, I want to watch the Detroit Lions. And I want to watch them win. I want to watch them get to the and secure that playoff spot.
I don't think the Lions take away from Thanksgiving when they play.
No, they
add
to it.
They enhance it.
They've added to it.
And people are able to spend time with their family. Eat food and still watch football and have a beautiful day. Why is that not possible on Christmas Day?
Why do we need it on 2 days?
Why not do it as often as we
can? 2 holidays, I mean, right?
Play football on all the major holidays.
Yes, it is like a tradition. That's what Thanksgiving is, right? But like, it's very, in our house anyway, it gets very segregated. You go, like Amy, the pie woman who called in, it kind of turns into that. The guys are done eating their lunch, breakfast, whatever they whatever dinner, they take their pie and go watch the game.
So you're a traditionalist,
and most of the women end up staying in the kitchen and or at the table, the dining room, wherever you're eating. And
but hold on,
you're not actually
see
together.
The TV from the kitchen.
Oh, John. But hold on, Christmas traditions typically, and I get it, everybody does it slightly differently, but most people do presents bright and early in the morning. They're not playing football when your kids are opening presents. If you go to church, they're not playing during the time you'd be going to church.
Santa usually comes at night. And so when you wake up, there's the presents. And by the time Santa delivers the adult presents, which is the NFL on Sunday, the opening of gifts are done.
No, our festivities go on all day long. And typically we don't love leaving the house, but we do because we go to Colin's family's house and we spend Christmas with them as well. But we have things we do during the day that
Colin needs to make sure he calls mom ahead of time. Mom, make sure you have the game on.
I would guess, Heather, you're not on a schedule. You're not on a clock.
No.
And I'll defend her in this realm, and I've got to question John's parenting skills on this one, okay?
Hey, I've raised football fans.
Exactly. But you do have a precious window of little tiny ones at Christmas time.
Yes. Yeah.
And to live in the moment and not be on a clock or not have to...
Or looking at a TV and trying to engage.
Forming everything around a game. Mm-hmm.
Teddy, as soon as kickoff starts, as soon as the Lions come on, he grabs my Lions helmet and he wears it and runs around the house. And he has no idea what's going on TV other than football is on.
Emily likes the Lions too, but she has told me she likes Frozen more than the Lions.
That's
like, an exact quote.
This is, we're talking about the coming December. And there's a lot of things that
she's going to be a little bit
change
older.
Change and do. I mean, they all grow. This is where Colin needs to make sure that he fosters that love for the Lions.
Like, there'll be a place
I think he's doing a great job with that.
I think he is, yes.
There'll be a place down the road where you and your family would maybe go to the game if they play, but not
on
at this
Christmas?
Not at this age.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think on Christmas.
You wouldn't go on Christmas Day?
I wouldn't
Day?
Go.
No.
No.
So if you had tickets, you'd sell them?
Yes.
I would, too.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Phone calls, we'll get to them. Ticket text, we've got them. It's 97.1.
Hey, if you're unhappy with how you feel, how you look, especially when they pull out the camera and you're taking pictures, because we all got phones and they all got cameras on them. People taking pictures all the time. You're just not happy with the way you look. You got to give Ideal You a call right now and picture yourself 40 pounds lighter and imagine doing that in just 40 days. That's right. You can lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days with Ideal You. And I know the program works. It really works because I lost 50 pounds in 40 days and I've been able to keep it off and I'm going on 3 years now. So book today and Ideal You is going to give you a free body composition analysis. That's $150 value, absolutely free. And here's what you're going to find out. All the stats about your body, how much fat you have, how much water weight, muscle mass, bone mass, all of that stuff you're going to find out. And then they're going to assign you a weight loss coach and they're going to construct a plan that is specific to you, designed at helping you lose that 40 pounds in just 40 days. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us. Ideal You is different than other weight loss companies because it works and it works fast. Lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy taking those pictures again. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us to get your body composition analysis, $150 value, absolutely free.
Would you want to see the Lions play on Christmas Day? Just like Thanksgiving. Rod Wood said it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they play Thanksgiving doesn't mean they're excluded from the Christmas Day festivities. I like it. John likes it. Heather hates it.
I hate it.
Ticket texter says,
Sorry, Colin.
He hates it too. He wouldn't want it.
He doesn't want the conflict.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Confrontational Colin. It's not confrontational on Christmas.
OMG, I feel so sorry for Colin. Heather sounds super fun. Heather's text to her husband, we wouldn't like Lions football on Christmas, would we, little guy?
The little guy.
Sounds like Colin is coming up short as a dad if Emily likes Frozen more than football, Tom and Flat Rock.
She is three.
Yeah.
Heather is selfish. Not everyone wants to spend just the entire day focusing on family. It's not like the Lions would
I'm
be in
sorry
every
for
year.
You.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, it's okay to focus on family.
What?
Says the Lions would not be an every year fixture for Christmas. It's once, get over yourself.
I love my Christmas. I won't get over anything.
There's one thing about the Lions and having a Lions game. I think no matter what city it's in, I don't think it's ideal for fans going to the games.
No.
But it is ideal. It is the ultimate Christmas present for those that are viewing from home.
Is it though? I mean, I guess for your family it is,
yes.
And that's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
But for our family, it's not.
Are you going out all over on Christmas Day?
No, we go one place.
Okay, so as long as it didn't conflict with the one place, you'd
but
be fine,
still
right?
Still,
yeah,
no,
you just,
because
you schedule
can't,
your departure.
You can't
time.
Fully
it's in
engage
the end and kickoff
in either activity. You're either engaged with the family and partially engaged to the game, or you're fully into the game and partially engaged with your family. It doesn't.
But hear me out.
Colin doesn't even like watching a game with me and a friend because all we are doing is like chatting, and he's like, "Shut up! I'm watching the game." Like he's not going to want to watch a game with the entire family
the
around.
Distractions. I understand.
Yes.
But let's say the Lions played at 1:00.
Yeah.
Could you guys do the thing at 4:30, wherever you got to be on Christmas Day after the game, or
well,
vice versa?
Of course we could, but we do things during 1:00. Like we have...
Oh.
This is a family day, John.
Oh, okay. I'm asking what things it is, and it's...
Yes. So he seriously tells you to shut up?
Who tells me to shut up?
Colin.
Oh, well, he might not use those words, but he will...
Okay, so but he doesn't actually say shut up.
No,
yeah,
but
talk to the hand.
He will tell me during a commercial break, like,
that's
please
enough.
Cut this out.
That's enough.
Like,
focus.
Yeah, I need to focus. Yeah, focus.
Okay, a bunch of calls here.
I want to experience this with Colin.
He's dialed in, man.
He is. Yes. And he's got to have, so he likes to go downstairs. We have like a theater set up, right? So he'd prefer to watch the game down there, but he's also has to have the game on upstairs because if you go up for a snack,
you don't want
to
miss anything.
You can't miss a thing. So we got two TVs occupied now.
He's got it all down.
Yeah.
There are phone calls.
Tough life.
And we can't get to all of them.
Tough life.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
But there is a theme from these callers. And Kevin and Troy, you can speak to it. You're on 97.1.
Hey, Kevin. I mean, here's what I want to say, Heather. First of all, I think, Heather, you probably are not that big of a football fan. Secondly, I would have to say that this thing called football actually will just bring the women and the men together. There'll just be a time of separation and segregation. It's okay to be in one place together and be segregated. Now, Heather, you would have to say that if you guys and women come together, you guys don't hang out together. When you all come together, we don't hang out together anyway. It never happens. So you're segregated anyway. So you can't make like if we come together, we're going to all be in one room hanging out and having fun together. It never happens anyway.
Amen, Kevin.
Ever.
Amen.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand what he's saying. Yeah. Yes, it's very
rare
that we're
generally
all
congregate
together
over here and
you're
the
having
the
conversations. Yes,
over there.
I get that.
And what are they going to be talking about? Hey, did you see the Lions game last Sunday? Yeah, boy, I wish they played today.
And then we just look at each other. And then we all get together. With, oh, hey, let's play bingo. Let's play sorry. Let's play whatever. No. So let's.
I love a game night.
Kevin does.
It actually draws the families together. At least we're in one place together.
Yes, Kevin.
Okay. Yeah, I do understand that. But with the little ones, it's different. Maybe it's because of what stage I am in life right now. With a 3 and a 1-year-old, it doesn't draw them together at all. They're not going to sit down and hang out and watch a game. They're going to be all over. We're going to be in a different room playing with toys. And it's Christmas. This is fine for another day. It's not fine for Christmas.